I bring you good news of great joy. A Saviour has been born to you. Alleluia. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Alleluia. He is Christ the Lord. Alleluia. We worship and adore him. Alleluia. Blessed are you, Sovereign God, Creator of heaven and earth. To you be praise and glory forever. As your living word, eternal in heaven, assumes the frailty of our mortal flesh, may the light of your love be born in us to fill our hearts with joy as we sing, Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And some words from the prophet Isaiah, a song of the bride. Please join in with the words in bold print. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God,
who has clothed me with the garments of salvation
and has covered me with the cloak of integrity. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth puts forth her blossom and as seeds in the garden spring up, so shall God make righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her deliverance shines out like the dawn, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your deliverance, and all rulers shall see your glory. Then you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of God will give. You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And so we pause for a moment to say sorry to God for those things that we have said or thought or done that have spoilt his image in us. Hear the words of the angel to Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Therefore, let us seek the forgiveness of God through Jesus, the Saviour of the world. God of grace and truth, we confess our unworthiness to stand in your presence as your children. We have sinned.
Forgive and heal us.
The Virgin Mary accepted your call to be the mother of Jesus. Forgive our disobedience to your will. We have sinned.
Forgive and heal us.
Your Son, our Saviour, was born in poverty in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. We have sinned.
Forgive and heal us.
The shepherds left their flocks to go to Bethlehem. Forgive our self-interest and lack of vision. We have sinned.
Forgive and heal us.
The wise men followed the star to find Jesus the King. Forgive our reluctance to seek you. We have sinned.
Forgive and heal us.
May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Word was made flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory.
Our canticle this morning is a song of Hannah from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. Blessed are those who believe, for what God has promised will be fulfilled. My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no holy one like you, O Lord, nor any rock like you, our God. For you are a God of knowledge, and by your actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full now hire themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are well fed. The barren woman has borne sevenfold, but she who has many children is forlorn. Both the poor and the rich are of your making. You bring low and you also exalt. You raise up the poor from the dust and lift the needy from the ash heap. You make them sit with the rulers and inherit a place of honor. For the pillars of the earth are yours, and on them you have set the world.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Blessed are those who believe, for what God has promised will be fulfilled. Well, we turn now to our readings from the Bible, and the first is a familiar reading from the prophet Isaiah. If you're well up to date with the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, this is the third reading, so you may recognize it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you've got a candle and you can light it, then please do. If not, imagine it lit. It's such a small thing, this little candle. And yet, once lit, if we were in complete darkness, it would shine out brightly. Throughout the whole Bible, there is an ongoing story of light shining in the darkness. In the very beginning, in Genesis, we are told that there was nothing but darkness. And then God spoke, saying, "Let there be light." And light dawned for the very first time, dispelling the darkness. And because there was light, there could also be life. Plants grew, water flowed, animals appeared, and human beings emerged bearing the image of their creator. Without light, we cannot be seen, we cannot grow, we cannot see, and we cannot live. And the Bible says that God is light, and the light is life. And Jesus came into the world to be a light to the world, shining in the darkness, leading us to God. And he calls us to reflect his light in our lives. I share with you an extract from a beautiful poem by Jan Richardson, which is called How the Light Comes. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves towards it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes.
Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 2 and is full of angels. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
I don't know if you've got a feather in your bag. I hope you have. If you haven't, then just imagine it. I've heard people say that when they see a feather, particularly one in a churchyard, and it's a white one, but that's a sign of an angel. As I hold my feather in my hand, it's so light, if I didn't know it was there, I might miss it. Throughout Luke's gospel, Luke tells the story of good news for everyone, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, the educated and the uneducated, the insiders and the outsiders. It's obvious that shepherds were not rich and privileged people. They were on the margins of society. In the culture of their time, those who were paid to stay out on the fields with the sheep were considered to be rogues and misfits. They were certainly not desirable company. So, why, I have found myself thinking, of all the people in Bethlehem, why was it this group of outsiders who heard the angels sing? Was it that the angels appeared only to the shepherds? Or was it that the sky was full of the heavenly host all along for everyone to see, but most of the people couldn't see it and couldn't hear it. There are several stories in the Bible where the presence of angels and even the Lord himself have gone unnoticed and unrecognized. The kingdom of God is among us and with us all the time. But all too often, we fail to notice it.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
If you've got a chocolate or a chocolate coin, and if you like, you can eat it. For many, many years in this country, Christmas has been a time of celebration, a toxic mix of feasting and partying, with a little bit of religion thrown in for good measure. In fact, things got so out of hand that the Puritans banned it. It was decreed that only Sundays were to be considered as being holy days, and that Christmas should be spent in somber contemplation, not celebration. As we know, that didn't last long, and Christmas celebrations were re-established and have continued and grown until today. And of course, it is why this year is so particularly difficult for so many of us. We can't celebrate in the ways we have in the past. We can put up decorations, but we can't share them with anyone. We can buy presents, but we probably won't see the joy in people's faces as they open them. We can be with a few people, but we've had to choose who to be with. It's just not the same. And it's easy to slide into thinking that Christmas is not worth celebrating this year, that it's been cancelled, that we're putting it on hold. Even in normal times, it's easy to allow oneself to fall victim to a certain "is that it" feeling about Christmas. But we need a little imagination. Our celebrations may have become increasingly secular, but they represent something much more sacred and profound. We need to remember the heavenly reality, the message the angels gave to the shepherds, that the hope of God with us has come true. The story of the angels and the shepherds remind us that when Jesus was born, God's glory burst out everywhere. It was and is good news of great joy for everyone, and it's certainly worth celebrating.
We turn now to from Luke to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "Oh, in Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Do please hold your star up if you've got one, or imagine one before you. I've been trying to remember to go out at night and see whether I can spot the great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, the so-called Christmas star. I would very much like to see it, and last night I did. It was so dark at Whiffley, and on clear nights the stars shine so brightly, and last night it was quite amazing. I imagine that ever since the first people walked on the earth, they have looked up to the stars and gazed and wondered, searching for meaning, just like the Magi in the story of Jesus' birth. Ancient astrologers were convinced that constant, careful stargazing would enable them to detect change, which would then demand interpretation and action. And so the Magi saw a new star rising in the east. They interpreted what it meant, that a new king had been born, and then they did something about it. They embarked on a journey following the star. The birth of Jesus Christ didn't just affect a few people, Mary, Joseph, and shepherds. The birth of Jesus impacted the whole of creation. Is there any wonder, then, that the first sign of this cosmic change was revealed in the stars? At the end of their long journey, the Magi arrived just at the right time. A new king had been born. As the Message translation puts it, they could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. The time had come for the Jewish people to receive their new king, the one through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. The Magi had had the perseverance to keep following the star until it led them to the king himself. So many of us catch a glimpse of God and Jesus at Christmas time and start following the star, but then give up and stop looking, never finding the king. May we keep following the star that takes us to Jesus this Christmas and always. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to prayer. We're going to be praying for people who are, we know not everybody finds Christmas easy, and especially this year. But we're going to be praying for some of those people who don't. We're going to pause at the end of each line, at the appropriate moment in each prayer, and if you can think of somebody that applies to, then name them before God ask God to surround them with his arms of love and to uphold them. And so let's pray. Today, in all the demands, we pray for those who are facing a Christmas without someone they love. God of goodness, hear us and be with us. Today, in all the delights, we pray for those who are facing a Christmas alone. God of goodness, hear us and be with us. Today, in all the celebration, we pray for those who are facing conflicts. God of goodness, hear us and be with us. Today, in all the time at tables, we pray for those who are hungry. God of goodness, hear us and be with us. And the collect for Christmas Day. Almighty God, you have given us your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him, and as at this time to be born of a pure virgin, grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, bless us and fill us with peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for, now and always.
Amen.
And we wish you a very happy, peaceful, and holy Christmas, full of comfort and joy. And we hope to see or hear from you the day after tomorrow, if you're up for that.
Hurrah, hurrah.
We will be Zooming in conference calling at 10, and I will be at Templeton at 11:15, and you'll be at St. Peter's at 11.
Yeah.
Put those things, if you've got a little bag, put them away or use them to remember those things of Christmas over this Christmas season. And God bless you all. We love you all, and we're so grateful for your company each Sunday and on these special days.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, telephone.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Have a joyful, peaceful Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.